Blog Talk Radio.
Bossa Nova and Neo Soul. Check. Mexican flamenco rockabilly trumpet. Check. Two extraordinary women who create extraordinary Latin music, Jenny Ball and Alexandra Jackson. Welcome to Music Friday Live. From Los Angeles, California, the music capital of America, it's Music Friday Live. I'm your host, Patrick O'Heffernan. This is your show. Our guests are here to talk with you, so call in 347-215-7511 or email us. You know, if you're sitting there at work and you got your headphones on, you can't call, you can email us, musicfridaylive@gmail.com. And I want to say welcome to our listeners on the Blog Talk Radio Network, the cyberstation.com network. It's a cyberstationusa.com network and their radio affiliates on the East Coast and the Arctic Echoes Network in the UK, who are going to hear us tomorrow because it's tomorrow today. Well, you know what I mean. And everybody listening on Stitcher and iTunes. So if you have questions or comments, you know, call us, email us. We'll make sure that you get your answers and your responses. So if you're listening to us on a podcast or you're listening to us in England, you can still email those questions and we'll forward them on to our guests. And speaking of our guests, Alexandra Jackson's music can make you just float away. And that's what happened to me when I played her double album All This Week. She's a classically trained pianist who discovered bossa nova and jazz and the magic of polyrhythmic Latin beats. And the result is something new and something old, a rebirth of the legendary bossa nova sounds of the 60s, smoothly fused with the edge and the sophistication of today's jazz and soul, which is why the album is called Legacy and Alchemy, because that's what she does, musical alchemy. And it's truly magic. I am so honored to introduce to you Alexandra Jackson. Welcome to Music Friday Live.
Thank you so much, Patrick. My goodness, that introduction. I just want to record it and listen to it every morning. That was so nice of you.
Well, actually, it was recorded. It will be on the podcast, and you can download
it.
After
there you
the
go.
Show.
Perfect. I'll play the podcast every morning.
Okay.
Thank you
well,
for having
like
me.
Like I said in the introduction, this is quite an album. Actually, this isn't an album. It's kind of a historic gathering, a sort of sprawling musical family reunion that's been reduced to a pair of fabulous CDs. Just the logistics of this project are overwhelming. 150 people, four cities, 3 years. How did you keep it all organized and moving forward?
Oh, man, that is a great question. I would have to say I can't take credit, full credit for all of that. There were a lot of people working behind the scenes. Robert A. Baer, executive producer, he really is kind of the mastermind of a lot of this project. And once we were able to get a team together that really had the same goal and same passion as what we did, that was the key to basically keeping it all together.
Well, how did you get all those people to work with you on a debut album?
Right. Well, you know, it was very interesting. It started with Robert having a conversation and an idea with the late and great Oscar Castroneves, and he is considered one of the founding fathers of bossa nova, along with Antonio Carlos Jobim. And they had this idea of trying to bring this beautiful Brazilian music to more of the world that doesn't necessarily know the music outside of Brazil. And unfortunately, Oscar passed away unexpectedly right before this project was able to get off the ground. And thankfully, Robert was able to continue the vision. And he and I got together and talked about us taking this path together. And once that happened, we were able to bring on Larry Williams as a producer. And he is the founding member of the classic 70s group Cwin, and so that was really great to be able to have him on. He's played on like all the Michael Jackson albums, Quincy Jones. He's been everywhere. And from there, everyone just kind of started falling into place. Yvonne Linz was also here from the beginning, very famous, legendary Brazilian singer-songwriter. And from there, the friend of friends heard about it and wanted to support. And Miles Davis's nephew, Vince Wilburn, actually heard about the project and said, you know, you can take anything of my uncle's performances, any Miles Davis that you want.
Wow.
You know, and we actually did that for Corcovado. So it really was just a matter of everyone believing in this and believing in me as being the face of it. And we just wanted to make beautiful music. So thankfully it all worked out for the best, even though it took almost 4 years, but it was worth it.
Well, and you made beautiful music, very beautiful music. And I want to give the audience a little feel of that beautiful music, of what we're talking about.
Great.
And I think we should start with a song that everybody knows, just to sort of ease them in. This is The Girl from the... embedded in the blood of anyone who loves music. But
so
you
true.
Made it your own. You made it completely modern. Now, when you decided to do a classic like that, were you nervous about adding chemistry to the legacy?
Absolutely. And probably more so because that song was the very first song that I remember as a very young child. I think I was maybe about 5 years old. And I remember hearing that song everywhere, in malls, in grocery stores, anywhere I would go. I remember hearing that song, and I didn't understand at the time, and it was Brazilian music. I thought it just kind of fell into the jazz genre because I had heard jazz musicians sing this song. You know, I was hearing Frank Sinatra and Sarah Vaughan and you know, Mel Torme. I was hearing them sing this music, so I thought it was just considered jazz standards. So when I got a little older and started to understand that this was indeed bossa nova, and then when we decided to do the song for the album, I wanted to make sure that it really had our stamp on it, because I didn't want it to feel like something that had already been heard, even though there's so many amazing renditions out there. Our goal with this song and really the whole project of Legacy and Alchemy was to be able to take these well-known, and majority of these songs were big hits in Brazil from ever since the 60s. And we wanted to be able to bring it, contemporize it a little bit, and add the American side, the jazz soul flavor to it, to bring it to even more audiences. So hopefully that was what we were going for with Girl from Ipanema. And at the other end of the song, I end up singing in Portuguese. And so that was a really nice way for us to pay homage to the Brazilian music, but also show that we're adding our American flair to it.
And it worked. And I want to remind our audience here that we are talking with Alexandra Jackson about her astonishing debut album, Legacy and Alchemy. And you can talk with her, too. You can call in 347-215-7511. Or you can email us, musicfridaylive@gmail.com. Some of you already have, and we are going to get your email, so don't despair. But I got a couple more questions first. And one of them is about you're growing up. You grew up in Atlanta, mm-hmm. a music town.
Yes.
And since I lived there for 13 years, I know it's also a very political town. Your mm-hmm. late father was mayor. Your mother is a larger-than-life figure in both business and on NPR. Your great aunt was an opera singer. You performed with Wynton mm-hmm. Marsalis in high school. You've been raised with some pretty high expectations, haven't you?
Well, I guess you could say they were high. They definitely weren't low, that's for sure. Yes, I had a lot of grand influences and personalities to look up to. That's really how I viewed it. I was blessed in that manner.
Well, as part of that that blessing that was bestowed upon you was the piano lessons. And you studied classical piano. What mm-hmm. brought you to Brazil and Bossa Nova after mm-hmm. all those years with classical piano? I understand it began with a jazz festival in Atlanta and Robert Herbert. You want to tell
right.
us the story?
Sure. Well, you know, like a lot of young people and children, the piano lessons were not my choice. they were mandatory from my parents. Piano was very big on both sides of our families. And so my sister was required. She started, I think, when she was 3. I started when I was 4. And I had the same teacher for 12 years. And she was a phenomenal classical pianist, but she really believed that classical was the only form of music to learn on the piano. And so that was really all I had. And I was never able to leave it. My parents said, "You'll thank us one day. You'll thank us one day." And I said, "I'll never thank you for this." And sure enough, I go to University of Miami for music, and I'm able to test out of all 4 years of piano. So I called my mom and said, "You were right. I'm thanking you today." But you know, the real switch happened in high school. You mentioned that I sang with Wynton Marsalis, and that was actually through this amazing program called Essentially Ellington, and it's a nationwide jazz competition for high schools. And the director of the band at my high school knew that I sang in all the musicals and the choirs and everything, and he approached me and asked if I had ever considered singing jazz. I was 14, and I told him I listened to it. I had never really thought about singing it. I thought it was way too advanced for someone my age. And he asked me to just try it out, and that was really the beginning of it. Our band went a lot further than any of us expected. We were able to go to New York for the finals of Essentially Ellington, which is hosted by Wynton Marsalis and the Lincoln Center Jazz Orchestra. We were able to do that 2 years in a row. And the second year, we got in the top 3, which allowed us to perform on stage with Wynton Marsalis. So I actually got to sing when I was 15 years old, standing next to Wynton as he's playing. And that really changed the direction of my life, not to sound cliche, but I decided to go to school for jazz. I went to University of Miami in their studio music and jazz vocal program. I studied music business. It just became a huge passion. And of course, being in Miami, that is a Latin town. And that was where I was able to really hone in on the Latin music, both in the salsa world and in the bossa nova ensemble world. So I sang in the ensembles, you know, for the school, for the Brazilian and salsa ensembles, had made Brazilian friends, fell in love with even more Brazilian music. And it really kind of took a path of its own.
Well, I want to stop you right there because, I want to give our audience a little taste of mm-hmm. what that story led to and the voice that went behind it. This is a track from your album that actually highlights the way in which you can put a pastel color in your voice in Brazilian music. This is Corcovado. Feliz a quem se ama. your voice is absolutely hypnotic, and your range and your control. Well, actually, the range of the album is pretty remarkable. Now, you just pointed out that you've been singing publicly since high school, and then you just spent the past 4 years in the studio. Was that intimidating, or was it exhilarating, or were you ready to sort of shoot yourself when it was all over?
That's a great question. I definitely miss performing live as much as I used to. And it was a little intimidating because when you're used to performing live, you tend to feed off of a lot of the live energy that's around you. So when you're in the studio, it's much more intimate. And it's really just you and the music, but the music is so beautiful in itself that it really helped me focus on the 20 plus songs that we were recording at the time.
Okay. All right. We've got a lot of emails, and I promised people I would get to them. So why don't I get to them? This is Mayo in Atlanta. And she says,
great.
Are you back here now? And will you be playing live here in Atlanta?
I am, Mayo, back in Atlanta, and we're looking to start doing some shows in Atlanta, I believe, in the middle of September. So that'll be really fun.
Mm-hmm. And everybody gets back to school at Georgia Tech and all those other colleges there. Lulu in Los Angeles says, Bossa Nova is cool, but it's in the 60s in the U.S. Is it still big in Brazil?
It is still big in Brazil. It's kind of like jazz in the U.S., where there's a huge appreciation for it, and you hear it in a lot of current music. But it is a little more of a niche of people who still listen to it, still appreciate it. But it definitely still carries a strong love over there.
Okay. Here's another one from Atlanta. This is Roto in Atlanta. Roto wants to know, Patrick said that there were 150 people involved, and you've mentioned some pretty big names. Were there creative differences, or were there arguments? Do you have any stories for us?
Well, you know, probably the craziest story is that everything went incredibly smoothly when it came to the guest stars collaborating. We had Al Jarreau on All One, Rod Temperton, Yvonne Linz, Larry Dunn and Al McKay from Earth, Wind & Fire, Hubert Laws performing on it, Saida Garrett, Carlinhos Brown, big Brazil star, and no one came ego, no one came with any issues other than, hey, let's just make this song, you know, the best that we can, and let's have fun while we do it. So it's a great question, and I know that it would, you know, normally I could give you something juicier, but I can't on this situation because everything was really a happy moment.
Well, with a track record like that, I have a crisis in the Middle East for you to solve.
I'll get right on that after this album.
Yeah, okay. All right. Reginald X in Hollywood says, why don't you come back to L.A. for a while? We have, and I'm hoping I'm saying this right, Brasileiros, but that must be Portuguese because it's not Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
Here, you should check out the 77 Lounge in Culver City.
Ah, you know, it's funny. So I did live in L.A. for a little while, and I've heard of that lounge. And I do try to go back every once in a while, but because I've been going back and forth to Brazil so much lately, I haven't been able to make it out to L.A., but that's definitely, again, on our list to hopefully make it back out to before the end of the year, definitely.
Well, I happen to know the 77 Lounge because we live – our studio here is near Culver City, and I've actually been there, and they do have Brazilian music. I think once a week there's a regular Brazilian band, and there's a big Brazilian shopping center nearby, so there must be a lot of, I don't know, how do you say it?
Brasileiros?
Is that how you pronounce it? Brasileiros?
Oh, that means Brazilians. Oh, yes, a lot of Brazilians there. Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Last question here, and this is Ceres in Charleston, who just puts, please period, play, period, here, period.
It was in Charleston?
In Charleston, right, South Carolina.
Charleston. Okay, I will be sure to put that on our, you know, top priority if we can make it there, definitely. So I appreciate that.
Okay, you do that. Well, I want to step up the tempo a little bit here and play All One.
Great.
Ground. As I'm searching up and down, as it's turning me around, waking to my soul, I always listen to my heart, as I'm facing the unknown, alone. Waking to my soul, I find I'm walking above ground, as I'm searching up and down, as it's turning me around.
You know, in that song, you sing about facing the unknown alone, but it seems like you're surrounded by family, both blood and musical. So where did that song come from?
Well, All One was actually written by Oscar Castroneves, and he released it on his last studio album that he did back in 2006, but there weren't finished lyrics to it, and so his widow Lorraine Castroneves actually finished the song for Al Jarreau and myself to sing, and it was really special because it really was less than a year after Oscar had passed. So I think that this was a very cathartic, helpful, and beautiful way to still honor Oscar and talk about the fact that we are all one. There's black Sam, there's white Sam, there's poor people, rich people, but at the end of the day, everyone is all one. And that's really the premise of the album, I think.
You know, I had that experience last night. I was at the Hammer Museum to see my friends Boyupongo, who are Mexican. Mexican Colombian American band, and Edgar, the head of the band, was up there with his güiro and his big drum, looked out over the audience, which was black, white, yellow, brown, young, old, everything you can imagine. And he said, "This is what America looks like. All colors,
absolutely
dancing." Right. So
I love
you
it.
Got that
absolutely.
Too. Well, speaking of playing live, this project, this wonderful project, is not over. You still have the challenge of sharing it with audiences. So will there be a tour? And if so, are you looking forward to getting back on stage?
Absolutely is the answer to both those questions. It has been quite a journey to get to the live aspect of it because there have been so many people involved and because my full band is about nine pieces, about nine players. And majority of them are living in Brazil. And so it's a lot of logistical issues that we have to put together, but we are doing it. We are getting a tour together. I believe that we are starting with Brazil and Europe, and then we come back to the U.S. And all of this is going to start around the end of September, I believe. But everything is updated and kept up to date on my website, which is alexandrajmusic.com, and all the social media outlets, which is the same tag. So I would definitely ask for people to continue to follow, and thank you for all the support. But that's the best way to find out the dates because they're still getting solidified right now.
Well, you know, you mentioned the music's available on all your social media platforms. Putting out an album today, especially a double album in this changing music environment, was kind of a risk. Did you think about that as you conceived of this project?
I would say I only thought about it about every other hour of the day. But
you're still thinking
about
it, right?
Exactly. As we're talking, I'm thinking about it. But you know, the response has been so wonderful, and I'm so grateful. You know, at the end of the day, without risk, there's no reward. And we really just had to have faith that if we put out great music, that the audience will come and they'll be able to access it and hear it. And it definitely was, you know, risky to put out a double disc album. And a lot of people said, you know, you should split it up in two albums and release one in a year, you know, or something like that. But, you know, it was just so hard to pare down all of the great music that we had done over the past few years that we wanted it all out. And we wanted to honor everyone who put their time and effort into it over the past few years. And that's really why we ended up doing a double album. And if anyone wants to order the physical album, we do still have physicals on Amazon. I know a lot of people were asking me if it was only digital, which is available everywhere digitally, but they can get the physical on Amazon. And it's a huge 16-panel CD booklet that really tells the history of everything and all the songs. So it's definitely a story that we've been telling on paper and through the music.
I'm actually holding that double album in my hand right now. And unfortunately, this is radio, so people can't see it. But you're right. It has a beautiful booklet in it, including pictures from your looks like your past, as well as many concerts. It's got a beautiful picture of you in the front and a really sexy picture of you in the back. I guess that's the two sides of Alexandra, and you've gone to a lot of work to make the album itself a work of art, as well as the music on it. So, you know, I realize that everybody streams today. I stream today, premium Spotify subscriber, etc. But you know, there are times when you want to buy the album, and this is one of those times.
Yes.
Another reason to buy the album is the song that we're about to play. We have time for one more song here, and I want to play Bazilika. You know, I could listen to that all day. In fact, I have been listening to it all week. There's a lot of people on that song. Did you record it in separate tracks or all at once?
We did it all at once, but we did it multiple times. And so we had, you know, one large room where everyone was kind of in their own space. And it was pretty spectacular to watch all these greats play in it. So Brazilica is definitely one of my favorites, and I know there's not so much vocal on it, but that was really my way of wanting the band to be highlighted, because we have these greats on it, and it became one of my favorite tracks on it.
Well, you know, Alexandra, we could talk and play music for at least another hour, but unfortunately we can't. So I want to say thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today, and also for this beautiful music and for this historic album and for reintroducing us all to Bossa Nova. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm so glad I was able to talk with you.
Alexandra Jackson, the album is Legacy and Alchemy. Get it on iTunes, Google Play, Amazon, stream it on Spotify, sample it on her website, www.alexandrajmusic.com. But really, this is a gorgeous work of art, from the cover of the book to the inside artwork to the music on it. So you should just add it to your collection, buy it. Okay. Well, we have to take a quick break right now before our next guest. But before we do that, we're actually going to take a little trip to Mexico.
Just 2 hours south of the California border lies the enchanting seaside town of San Felipe, Baja California, where friendly people, warm waters, and a relaxing vacation awaits. And it all starts at www.mysanfelipevacation.com. Whether you choose to golf on the 18-hole championship course overlooking the Sea of Cortez with friends, enjoy a romantic weekend for two on the beach, or take the whole family for a fun-filled weekend of shopping and activities, you'll be sure to find just the right accommodations at mysanfelipevacation.com. So what are you waiting for? Isn't it time you got away? Visit www.mysanfelipevacation.com today. That's www.mysanfelipevacation.com. See you in San Felipe.
When I grow up, I want a voice like that. But in the meantime, I'm just going to go down to San Felipe and take a vacation, and maybe my voice will get deep and rich like that one. MySanFelipeVacation.com. That is my San Felipe, F-I-L-I-P-E, vacation.com. And use the discount code MFLA5, and you'll get a discount on everything you book, and you'll be really glad you did. Well, our next guest is Jenny Ball. Jenny is the leader of Jenny and the Mexicats, who I will introduce formally in a minute. The Mexicats are on tour right now, and the only day we could talk with them was Wednesday, that is 2 days ago. So the interview you're about to hear was recorded 2 days ago, and it was recorded while the band was in San Diego before their show Wednesday night at the Casbah. However, Jenny wasn't there. Jenny was actually traveling on the trolley that runs from San Diego to the Mexican border because she had to take care of some business in Tijuana. So although she's English, she lives in Mexico. At one point, we lose her, you know, so even though this is a recorded interview, it's live too. And, you know, that happens, particularly when you're using a Mexican cell phone to talk to an American cell phone, which then connects to a radio studio in America, and you're on a moving train, right? So the fact that we talked to her at all was sort of a miracle. But anyway, here is Jenny and the Mexicats. Jenny and the Mexicats is a unique standout in the rolling thunder of Latino music now sweeping through the world. Part of that standout difference is that this band is not fronted by a Latina singer-songwriter, but by an English woman who plays the trumpet. Plus, the band wasn't launched in L.A. or Mexico City, but in Madrid, Spain. Jenny and the three Mexicats, two Mexicans and a Spaniard, fuse jazz and rockabilly and flamenco and reggae and Latin beats into concerts that blow away screaming, dancing audiences on two continents and into albums that win awards and top playlists worldwide. And even better, they are here with us now. Jenny is here with us now, celebrating their 10th anniversary with a monster tour. Jenny, welcome to Music Friday Live.
Hello. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. What a lovely introduction.
When we first scheduled you last April, you were on tour and using a Mexican cell phone, which we never connected to us. So, first of all, let me just thank you for your patience and your perseverance, as well as for your music. I really appreciate
all right.
it. Now, you're celebrating your 10th anniversary, and you put out a video and a tour. The video, which everybody listening should go and watch right after the show, documents your evolution from Pachucos and the Princess to an international powerhouse. Did you laugh and cry a lot while you put together all those videos and photographs?
Yeah, I mean, it was actually me that did it. I was like, I'm like the mouse that hoards everything, and I've like kept the hard drives. I'm just about alive still with all these old photos and stuff. And I think most of the video is like just a collection of whatever. Like, I think in 2010, people started to have like like iPhones and like clever phones that can take pictures and stuff. So from like the first 2 years of the band, we don't have like that much. We just have some photos where we look like puppies. And then and so I've used some of those, and then from 2010 we have little bits of video of our first tours and stuff like that. And then obviously our moving to Mexico, and you can see like the band growing. It's quite sweet. I did cry a little bit, yeah.
Now that you've had the opportunity to sort of look back and think about what you've become, did it cross your mind 10 years ago that you might reach this level of popularity?
It did not cross my mind in one moment that I might like kind of represent Mexico where I go. Sometimes that tends to happen. I'm like the most, I'm English, but we're based in Mexico as a band, and I really feel part of like the Latin culture now. It's become part of me, and I think I never expected to be like speaking more Spanish than I speak English. I didn't really speak every day. I speak more Spanish than I speak English. Only when we're touring in the States, where I get to go back to the roots, and people still don't understand me because they're like, "What? What is she talking about?"
Well, you know, Americans and British are two common people separated by a common language, but there it is. Over the past decade, there's been another evolution. That's the evolution of American Latino music or fusion music into the mainstream. And you helped pioneer that. Did you ever think about your place in musical history?
Not really. We were just doing what we felt like doing at the moment. And I think that's what most people do when they're making music. They're not. I think if you're thinking about, I'm gonna mean this, you'll probably never mean that. You just got to do what you're supposed to do, and then the result will be what the result is. I don't know. We've had an absolute blast, to be honest. We've had a lot of fun. We've made our own decisions as a band. They've been good ones. There've been mistakes. There've been like ups and downs. We're a real family, and we've moved country several times together. And I think we're pretty united as a team. And we defend our music. Our music's like the most important thing. We like the message that we give to people. We want to make people have a nice day. People connect with their feelings, but also alegre, no? Alegría. They come to a concert and they'll dance. But we're not just a cumbia band just to make people dance. We like people to feel what we're doing, and every person in the band puts a little bit of what they know about music and what they're passionate about. They put it into the mix. And what comes out is our sound. And obviously, having two Mexicans in the band and a Spanish guy, their influences within music have influenced me. And learning Spanish has influenced my, like, the kind of rhythms that I hear or things that I write to, stuff like that.
Well, you have made history, and I want to play the music from that video that you've made about your 10 years of that magical history. This is... Aprendimos from the Mar Abierto album. Here we go.
Aprendimos a correr sin saber andar. Encontramos la manera. Decirle nuestro cuerpo cuando trasnocha. Que siempre valga la pena. Y crecer y vivir y sentir siempre de más. Y nunca dejar de ver. Nada de beber. En ningún bar. Deducimos sin embargo la ruta trazada, siempre esquivando problemas, apartamos del camino la necesidad, que a veces viste de será, y cubrir y abarcar territorio como huracán, y nunca dejar de variar, para no llorar.
For our English-speaking audience, aprendimos means we learned. So what have you learned in the past 10 years?
To be grateful and work hard. I think those are the two things that have definitely made the band just keep going and keep fighting for our little dream. And we appreciate a lot the fact that we live doing what we love. And I think it's really hard to do that. Not many people manage it. Or you have to just love living, and that helps, I think. We've had a good attitude with it. We've also been lucky, and we've worked hard at it. And I think keeping your feet on the ground and your eyes on where you wanna be, or where you are right now, that's what kept us right, that's what we've learned, and we learned some things together as a team.
I want to remind our audience that we're talking with Jenny of Jenny and the Mexicats, and this is a interview was conducted earlier this week, so don't call in, but if you have questions, send them to us, and we'll forward them on to Jenny. The background noise that you hear is that Jenny is actually on the trolley between San Diego and Tijuana, so you're going to hear some strange things in the back, but it's okay, because we get to hear Jenny, too, right? We've been talking about what you've learned over the past decade, and listening to your albums and watching your videos, which I've been doing all week, and getting ready to talk with you. One of the lessons that you seem to have learned, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that the trumpet can be a lead instrument in a popular music world dominated by guitars, and that cajon players simply can't resist a drum kit.
The cajon player can't resist what?
A drum kit.
Yeah, no, he's got, I mean, he sits on the cajon, but he has a whole percussion set up around him. And, like, as much as we let him travel with, he takes, like, he has a bunch of stuff. And we actually have another percussionist that plays with us at the moment as well, called Santiago, which is Mexican. And so between the two of them, it's a real party. It's a lot of Latin percussion. Yeah.
And you've also learned how to make the trumpet a lead instrument, too. And it's wonderful.
Well, actually, I studied in, playing in the orchestra and, jazz bands and stuff when I was at school. And I actually met the boys when I was on tour. When I was 18, I was in my last tour of, this band camp kind of thing that we did. I won't go into details, but it definitely gave me a lot of the education in music that I had as a child. And, what was the question?
You learned how to make the trumpet a lead instrument in a music world dominated by guitars.
So I was used to playing in ensemble, but I'd also studied playing solo trumpet in classical music with piano and stuff like that. But then when I made the Mexicats, it was it became the second voice. We'd have my voice, and then there'd just be these gaps for the trumpet, and I was like, oh, I don't want to do it. I just rather just sing and 1 second. I think I'm here. I'm at my stop. I'm getting off. Sorry, yeah. So you might have to.
You're now at the border.
I just need to check. I'm at the right place.
Is this the place across the border?
Down that way.
Down that way.
Yeah. Thank you. All right, we're back on. Sorry.
Okay,
so, I was used to playing in ensemble situations, but I often had, different melodies in my head and stuff like that. And then, I was quite scared about standing up.
Well, you seem to have learned that lesson. Now, I was looking at your tour, and this is a monster tour. You're going from June to October. You're on two continents. So you're going to be exhausted when you get back. Or are you going to be energized? And I think we may have lost her in the transition. So I'm going to play the next song, and this is Lion.
I woke up in we are young lions. Don't go insulting me with your heart fellow. You hold me with your elbows, lions. I beg you, please, don't get up and run. Watch me now. If you gonna be someone else,
apparently, as Jenny went across the border. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. I think she's back. Hi there. You back?
Yeah, hold on. Let me get her on the other line. She got service again.
Okay.
All right. Let's try to do this, and this hopefully it does not cut off anymore. Hold on.
What's happening here is that she went across the border and switched phone systems, so we lost her. But her manager is working on getting it back. So I'm going to play a little bit more of her music. We're going to play Boxes now. Boxes by Ginny and the Mexicats. And unfortunately, as Ginny went across the border, her cell phone dropped, and her manager, who has been trying to get us back in touch, isn't being successful. And having dealt with the Mexican phone systems myself, I can understand that. So in any case, this gives us an opportunity to play Ginny and the Mexicats music from their new album, not a new album, but their most recent album. And so you've been listening to Boxes, and we're going to play the remainder of Boxes, and then I got a real treat for you, Agradecimientos. But here's the rest of Boxes.
I'm all covered in sand, but I wash on the street. You've got some memories I've forgotten the moon. It's hazy memories, for steps of summer, and we fall.
Boxes by Ginny and the Mexicats. And we were talking with Ginny, but unfortunately we lost Ginny. All right. Ginny, And the Mexicats are playing tonight, or rather, they're playing tonight at Alex's Bar in Long Beach. But we were actually talking to them Wednesday, and Wednesday night they had a gig of which I found out later was a very successful gig at the Casbah in San Diego. But Jenny was on the trolley from San Diego to Tijuana, to the border crossing at Tijuana. She had to go over to the other side. They're actually based in Mexico, even though she's English. And in the best of circumstances, the top level American cell phone directly connecting to us on a moving trolley on its way to Mexico is kind of dicey. But she was using a Mexican cell phone connecting to her manager in Los Angeles, who was connecting to me. And that got a little bit too dicey. We lost her, but it was a great conversation, and we're going to have her back on at some point too. In the meantime, we're playing some of her music. You just heard Boxes. We've also played Leon and Aprendimos. You should go to her website. You should go to the website for Jenny and the Mexicats and check out all of their albums. You should also check out the Tiendas, that's the store, because they're offering the most fabulous cell phone covers there. I'm going to get one myself, in addition to all of their music and T-shirts and hats, too. This is a fabulous band, and if you have an opportunity to see them live, you should, and you will have an opportunity because they are on a monster tour celebrating their 10th anniversary. They started in Spain in June. They're now, as I'm talking to her today, in San Diego, having gone through Europe and then over to the United States in the Southwest. And then they're moving on to Los Angeles and long back to Europe and then London and back to Spain and Germany. And they actually don't get home. And actually, I'm not sure if they'll be home. They wind up in October at Zurich. And then I guess after that, they go home. So if you get a chance, go to their website. That's www.jennyandthemexicats.com. Go to the Presentaciones page, which is all of their tour, and take a look at all those cities. And you've got to be in one of those cities in Denver, San Diego, Long Beach, Los Angeles, London, Berlin, Amsterdam, Cologne, Frankfurt, Vienna, Munster, Budapest. I mean, you should anywhere. You should, if you're in the U.S. and you miss them here, you should fly across the country and see them there. They are so good. Okay, that's it. We've talked to Jenny. We have played their music, and we are going to return now to Music Friday Live. But once again, follow Jenny and the Mexicats at JennyandTheMexicats.com. They're on all social media. Buy their music, including their latest album, Open Sea, Mar Abierto. It's on iTunes and also on their website. And while you're there, like I said, check out the cool cell phone covers. And that's Jenny and the Mexicats. And we are back live now. And I did promise you that we were going to play a little bit of their famous wrap-up song, Agradecimiento, so here it is.
Here we go. I have peaches, bruised. If you let them loose, then you're bound to drop them in the end. And if you don't eat me eventually, I will only be your friend, which is why. Inspiring you.
bye-bye, she says. That is so cool. I love it when bands do the final introductions, their final song as the introduction of the members of the band, and I think they do it very, very well. Well, once again, that was Agradecimientos by Ginny and the Mexicats, and if you're in L.A., they're playing tonight at Alex's Bar in Long Beach, and tomorrow they're going to be in Pershing Square, downtown L.A. Big, big celebration in Pershing Square tomorrow. And if you're in L.A., you should definitely be in one of those two places. Well, you have been listening to Music Friday Live with me, Patrick O'Heffernan, from the CyberStation USA Network, the Blog Talk Radio Network, and our radio affiliates. So like our Facebook page, follow our Twitter feeds, and you'll get real-time updates on our guests. And don't forget all those great pictures we put up on Instagram. And if you check out the Music Friday YouTube channel, we post YouTubes, we post videos of what's going on in the LA music scene. So we post videos from nightclubs, from private parties with bands in them, all sorts of things. It gives you a little inside look into what's going on in the LA music scene. So Music Friday Live is produced by Music Friday Live and also by Fairness Radio LLC. Our program director is Jason Bartleben. Our intern used to be Angeline Serrano, but Angeline's got her own radio show now, so we're now scrambling for interns. If you are a college student working in radio communications, etc., and you want to get a little experience, including we give our interns some airtime, so give us a call. Go to our website, shoot us an email, whatever, because we could use another intern. In the meantime, download this and other Music Friday Live programs at blogtalkradio.com or at iTunes. And also, like I said, check out our website and check out our podcast on iTunes. Tune in next week. We're going to talk with Sterling Infinity. Sterling Infinity is, wow, you've got to see this woman. You've got to hear this woman. She is incredible. And also, we're going to talk with Carmack. Plus, the LA Music Critic Award winner, Chris Angelis, will drop by. So check out our Twitter stream and our Facebook page, and we'll give you some updates on those guests. In the meantime, have a great musical weekend, and we're going to leave you with a little bit of music. We're going to leave you with All in One by Alexandra.
Above ground, as I'm searching up and down, as it's turning me around, waking to my soul, I always listen to my heart, as I'm facing the unknown alone. Waking to my soul, I find I'm walking above ground, as I'm searching up and down, as it's turning me around. Waking to my soul, I always listen to my heart, as I'm facing the unknown alone.